There's visitation Friday.
You ready, Shel?
Tom Hertz, you know, and his wife. I want you to be aware of that.
All right, it is 10 a.m., so we'll go ahead and get started. I will officially call this Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Tuesday, September 3rd, 2013, and ask if everyone would please join with the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so? All right, moving on. We put at the top of the list, we're so appreciative that we have representatives from three of the entities that have requested TIF funds this year. They've taken time out of their schedule to come in and present to the board. This is a day when no action will be taken by the board. This is just our first opportunity to collectively hear about some of these applications, and we thought no better way, Leanne and I thought no better way than to have the actual people making the applications come in and talk to us. So we'll just take it in order as we go on the agenda. And first on the list is City of Roland. And I see Mayor Roger Fritz is here today. Roger, how you doing?
Doing good.
Thank you, Father. Thank you so much.
Having been to your body before, is here good? Or?
You can sit right there, make yourself comfortable, and please speak into the microphone.
Slides of pictures, if you want them.
And Roger, if you wouldn't mind, I introduced you, but go ahead and introduce yourself for the record.
Well, I'm Roger Fritz, Mayor of Roland. I'm also joined by our City Clerk, Jody Meredith, here for moral support, too. So, anyway, appreciate the opportunity to speak to our grant request here. We put in a request for $12,500 for asbestos abatement at the property you see on the right there on the screen. That's our former library building. And actually, it doesn't look that bad from the front. And we were pondering using that as our new city hall. It needs some work on the inside, and also the brick isn't in there real good. So it would need some work to get it fixed up for a new city hall. But it turns out the property just to the north at 220 North Main, and I don't know if we have that on another picture here, certainly in your packet there, that property owner donated it to the City of Roland. Not necessarily the greatest donation in the world, because the building is pretty much completely trashed and not able to rehab that. So the council, we had been talking about a new city hall and thought, well, here's an opportunity. Let's just tear down both these buildings that are not in real good physical shape. One of them definitely, it can't be used. So to that, we've been setting away $50,000 a year for the past 2 years towards this whole project. But part of the deal, now when you tear down a building of this age that's, you know, like 130 years old, or not quite that old, 120, 110, somewhere in there, to get the asbestos out of it. So if you go to your packet and towards the back, we've got a bid for $12,500 to abate the asbestos and dispose of it properly at 218 North Main Street. And that's what we're requesting there. The others, we're working on some DNR grants for the other one, because before the city actually took ownership of that, I believe how the DNR grant rules works, we may be able to get some of that funding. So we're just asking for the 218 North Main, which was the originally city-owned property there. So, and why we were doing this, Roland's one of the few towns, when you go to small-town Iowa, where City Hall's not on Main Street. You know, nobody here from Slater. Theirs is a little hard to find. Ours is not quite as easy, too. It's around the corner. So that's one thing. Just we were thinking to help Main Street and get it going to have City Hall on Main Street. Obviously, it's our current City Hall. It's served this since the 1930s. It was like a WPA project or something like that. The other problem with our current City Hall, that it's in conjunction with the water plant, and you know, kind of like making sausage. You don't necessarily want to see that with the water plant. It puts out a big smell, and especially over the weekend on Monday morning or this morning, it just kind of smells nasty in our city hall just from making the water, whatever, you know, the chemicals they add and all that. So So, you know, so the two main points of what we're trying to get here is to fix up our downtown and get rid of two buildings that are not in really good shape and that we want to put a new city hall there. And then be a better presentation to public, be it industry or citizens who simply want to move to Roland and think there and they might stop in for some information and all that, just to give a better presentation of Roland and having a nicer city hall to you know, that folks can come into and just make a better presentation to someone who never had an experience at Roland before. So, again, that's pretty much it. It was a $12,500 request on the asbestos abatement. We've already set aside $100,000 towards this project. It's going to take some more to actually build that, but we've been trying to, without any bond issue or anything like that, set aside our pennies to get this paid for. And that's pretty much it, and I'll take any questions if you guys have any.
Sure. How much more do you expect than the $100,000 that ultimately is going to cost to – because, okay, so I'm viewing this, Roger, as one full project of building a new city hall on Main Street revitalization. And part of that, obviously, is taking down these buildings and dealing with the asbestos that's in it. What's total scope of project that you're looking at?
Well, and I don't know if it got put in here. Potentially, it could be upwards of $500,000, though that's our fantasy prediction there for putting that up. The type of building we want to put up is like a Morton-type building, but then maybe put some brick on the front of it so it looks nice on Main Street, but it's certainly not a completely brick building or anything like that. So we're guessing kind of in the neighborhood of maybe $300,000 after tearing it down and putting a new building up.
Okay. And if the asbestos abatement funding was not available, the $12,500 for this one building, where else would you guys look?
It would just simply be out of our tax takings if we end up having to do a bond issue, or just out of general funds that we're trying to save to do that. So that's where it would come from. And, of course, we'd be looking for any other grants. Like we said, we already got working on the one DNR grant for the other building. So any other grants that might be out there too. But so I'd say grants or just regular taxes from the citizens of Roland.
Okay. Questions for Rod?
Is there a timeline for your project? I mean, three, 4, or 5 years down the road, you'd like to see this complete, or?
Yeah, we don't have an exact timeline yet. We're, you know, actually, we just got this other building a few months ago, so that kind of changed everything, how we were going to proceed on that. So that's probably backed everything up, because now we have to tear that down. But I would foresee it being about 2 to 3 years probably before it all gets done.
And is that 2 to 3 years primarily because of securing all the funds that is best needed, or would you be looking at it in terms of phasing in? For example, if you were able to receive the money for the tearing down and the removal of the property, you would probably do that in one particular phase and then hopefully do the actual construction at a later time. Is that?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, because the first phase is to secure the funding, and asbestos abatement, there are grants for that, like with the DNR, so we're trying to get that knocked out first. And then we've already made the efforts for the actual tear down of the buildings. Once the asbestos is out, we've already got contractors that know about it and doing that. So you could say that there really are kind of three phases to it: the asbestos removal, and then the tear down of the actual buildings, and then the construction. And the city council has not yet decided how to fund the construction yet, but we've pretty much got it squared away for the tear down and the asbestos abatement.
Roger, tell me about the tear down. What is that going to cost you once you deal with the asbestos problem?
Did we get a bid for that yet? We did have a tear down in Roland from construct of a house that we got that kind of got donated to us, and that was about $12,000. So I imagine for those two buildings, not counting the asbestos, it's going to be about $25,000.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Roger?
No, just appreciate the detail, and gives us an opportunity to kind of go through and review this along with others that we're going to be receiving. And I guess the question that always comes in mind is the criteria, as we alluded to, you know, was this certainly fits into the aspects of the downtown revitalization. And so just trying to look at, you know, this as well as others, and then once it was determined what type of funding is going to be available and what the timetable for selecting the projects will be, something that we will have to address at a later time. But I think this is a good first step, and it gives us something to kind of take a close look at. And I want to thank you for you and staff for putting this together.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for this opportunity.
You guys are welcome to stay as long as you want, but you're also welcome to go anytime.
Yeah, I want to listen to what the other folks have to say, too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next is the Colonesco School District, and I see Superintendent Jim, and I'm sorry if I do this wrong, Verlinja. All right. Thanks for being here today.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Good. Well, good morning to you, and thank you for the opportunity to come before you. I was a little confused. You will get a full application, I believe, on the 24th, so I wasn't prepared other than this handout to share with you today, so I'll maybe talk through some of these pieces. But primarily, I've come before you representing our district and Board of Education and asking for the consideration of funding to assist us in a playground located in Zering. We have realigned our elementary school, so that building now holds students in grades K through 4. We did not have an appropriate play structure for them and or location for them to play, so we're looking for some opportunities. Currently, they are playing on the outfield of the baseball field. They have no play structure out there at all. It gives them a green space and nothing else to play on. So that's the, if you will, the emphasis on why we're choosing to do what it is that we're asking to do. We're working in partnership with the city of Zering because it does involve a stop sign, those kinds of things that go on, and possibly some rework of the sidewalks, etc. We're asking for the sum of $61,680. And the reason I bring that forward to you is that obviously playground structures and materials can be very, very expensive. What you see here is a picture from the north side. This is not actually, this is land we currently own where we park our buses. On the far side, between the bus, if you will, and the water tower, is the actual property that the district has purchased for the playground. It was a space that had a home on it for some time. That home was torn down, and it was three vacant half blocks. Does that make sense for me? So now we own literally from I'm forgetting the street that runs across there where the lake is going to be, all the way to the water tower, if you will. So part of it will, the green space will be where we're talking about primarily putting in the playground. I've listed in there, if you will, some funds, numbers that are very accurate as far as the costs are concerned. But most importantly, what I want to point out, we understand the difficulty of dollars, and we understand that dollars only go so far. So we try to put into our proposal an in-kind contribution. We think that that's pretty important. For example, the actual putting up of the playground was going to be an additional $10,000. We'll attack that through volunteers, if you will, and our own folks to ensure that that would happen as we go through that. We have got moved forward with what it is that we have done, and this is a picture of the current site with the playground structure on it and the fencing that we have put in place thus far. So what we're actually had to do was move forward with this because we had to have a place for our kids to play. And what we're doing now is coming to you and asking, we would appreciate if you can help us support us with the funds that we've already expended towards this, because those PEPL dollars only go so far. And that's the only course that we really have for this funding. Our general budget, a general fund, pardon me, will no way be able to allow us to do this. The district has had some financial problems in the past, working very hard to correct those. We did pass a PEPL, a local PEPL, back in April of 2011. That has been wonderful for us. So any dollars we can recoup are huge for us that we can put back either into the general fund, or we have roofing projects, as you can imagine, and a number of other pieces that go along with that. The space itself, as you can see, is got now a playground structure on it. It is a green space. We want to use it for more than just a playground. It is large enough for us to have an outdoor, I'm going to call it a horticulture classroom. We will plan on planting a garden there. The kids will be involved in all of that. It will become an educational space for us. We see it being large enough that we can hold outdoor events for for the school system as well as the community. As I put in my notes to you that I won't read from, it is right at the doorstep of the lake project. We think it leads to the street. Apparently, from what I understand, it's going to be opened up all the way across and right into the new area for the lake. I think it's just on the way for a number of people to enjoy and families to enjoy. Phase two of the project, which I'm not here to speak about or in a sense to ask funding for now, will consist of a picnic area, walking trail within. It will not be a large walking trail, but it will be around the perimeter of the fence where parents can come and let their kids play and still have an opportunity, if you will, to exercise if they would like to do so. We'd like the kids also to be in charge of, if you will, flower beds, planting of trees, et cetera, to really truly make this a community space used by the school system during the 9 months of school, but used by the community literally year-round. With that, I think you have the second sheet, again, as a cost that I mentioned earlier, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the Board of Supervisors would have.
You did talk about volunteer installation and things of this nature. Have you also looked at any service clubs throughout Story County for, and also other grant dollars that, you know, there are partnership grants that you can apply for? I'm not sure, the Story County Community Foundation, other types of things, to see if there's some additional funding there. I would just encourage you to use all the different avenues that are currently there, because I think that was one of the reasons that those grant opportunities were made available.
Thank you.
I don't have any questions.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly the fact that they've already done it speaks to the import of it. The fact that this will come out of their PEPL account if there's not any other ways to fund this, I think speaks to it. Any other questions?
No.
Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Good. And how is the beginning of school going so far?
It's been warm.
Oh, come on.
And those dollars that we would save would go to help air condition the six rooms that we don't have at the high school that obviously we have to go to school. But it's been a good start.
Thank you bet. Well, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then last but certainly not least is the city of Zeering. So staying in the same area, I see Mayor Jim Chance.
Gentlemen.
Hi, Jim.
Jim. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for being here.
Okay, I didn't have handouts set up for you folks, but I've got several things I'd like to discuss what we're trying to do in the city of Zeering for economic development and to renovate our Main Street, fix up some of our old original buildings. You see a shot here of Main Street on the right side, right on the corner. There's a couple of the older buildings that the city's trying to acquire right now. The owner has moved out east. I spoke with him. If we don't do some work on these buildings, they're going to fall down and we'll end up tearing them down. We've applied for some grants for four of our buildings. One of the buildings we own already, which is right next door to our city hall. We're currently in the process of, we've applied for the DNR derelict building grants. We got okayed for $80,000 between three of the buildings, the two on the right side and the one next to the city hall. We're currently going forward with our building next to city hall because we already own that. So we can get the grants. We get about $20,000 out of the DNR for that building. And the city needs to match that. Actually, we'll be going a little higher than that, probably put about $24,000 into that building. That gets us the building gutted, the structure, any structural problems taken care of. The exterior of the building will be brought up to snuff. Try to recreate the original storefront on the front of the building. It's been covered up with some wood siding and stuff that's starting to rot away. Anyway, if we don't do anything with that building, it's going to fall down. Okay. We're going to go ahead and get it taken care of to where we'll have a shell ready for a possible business to move in there. Huh? Or we're looking at some other opportunities as far as maybe a rec center or a fitness center or possibly house our food pantry we currently have housed in the city hall.
Okay.
So that's some ideas we have for that building. So we're going to go forward, and that's they've already done the asbestos inspections, lead paint inspections. We're going to go ahead and they're going to do the asbestos removal here. That's estimated. We don't have any bids back, but estimated at $7,000 for asbestos removal, which we have to pay for ourselves. Won't be covered by the grant. The grant pretty much does the environmental studies and the inspections. So anyway, we're looking at that building. We're going to start. We're going to try to get it done by the 1st of November. I don't think it's going to happen because we've got to do a public hearing and put out our bids for the rest of the demolition and stuff, and probably open those bids at our October meeting. We're working with the DNR, and we'll probably get extended our time period, but we're immediately going to be going on that. Something else, when we first applied for this grant that we have done in Zering to help our economic development, is we now have a pharmacy in Zering right next door to our medical center. We're very proud of that.
Uh-huh.
We were able to acquire that building, completely remodel it to their specifications, put a whole new brick front on that building. That's sort of the look we'd like to have on our main street, the brick fronts of the building. We did all of that, and we put in about $28,000 into that building. We own the building now, and the pharmacy's in there, and they're going to see how that goes. We got one gal with a new job that works there full-time. She's been so busy that she's hiring somebody to help her part-time and to take her place when she's gone. So that's another job we're getting. So we're pretty happy about that. So we'd like to ask to recoup some of that money.
Sure.
I got a concept here. I think it's big enough you can see. Concept here of some different looks we could have with our city hall, the building in between that we're working on, and then there's another building that's privately owned that we're looking at getting a business in there. To do the work on the city hall and finish that building up next door to get somebody in there, it's probably going to run us about $200,000. So we, like I said, we've got some funding from the DNR, and we're asking for whatever help you can give us.
Well, Jim, I love a lot of the work you guys are doing in Zering. I think it is really, really impressive to watch what you and the council have done over the last couple of years to really get going. And clearly the Dakins Lake project could add a lot to everything we're talking about. I know in speaking with people from New Cara Pharmacy, the pharmacy that has come in, really trying a new model in Zering, and are really, really encouraged about the way it's going so far. And to me, it was just great because that. Tell us what that building was before you guys took it and turned it into this.
At one time, they had a consulting firm in there, I believe, and then later on, the folks that purchased it, they had a hair salon and tanning salon in there, and then it went to like an antique shop that the gentleman's parents was running out of there after the salon shut down. And it is actually sat there for several years empty.
Just empty,
and
right.
I had worked and worked and tried to get this gentleman to get that building for us, and one of our other citizens got a hold of him, and all of a sudden, bang, there it was.
Uh-huh.
So we had to move on that because they were operating the pharmacy out of the medical clinic.
But there wasn't nearly enough room for
the
medical clinic or the pharmacy.
We got that building set up for them as quickly as we could. It took a little bit, not as quick as I'd like to see, but it's basically a complete all-new remodeled building.
Yep.
It's in good shape.
Really, really well done. Questions for Mayor Chance?
Oh, again, I was just sitting here looking at all the applications that at least are listed here, and just having you folks here and we're excited about, you know, what we're seeing. We had no idea when we first floated this concept out there whether we would be in a position to actually not only spur some interest in our smaller communities, but they would actually take hold of starting some real serious planning and looking at their needs and looking at many different avenues of how they could go about revitalizing their community. And so I think it certainly fits into the earlier vision that we, you know, laid out as a board to be able to partner with some of our smaller communities in looking at economic development opportunities. So I do appreciate that, as Supervisor Sanders said, the time, energy, and the thought that your community has put toward future opportunities. So I really do appreciate that.
The old bar building and the one next to it?
Yes.
Said the city wants to try to purchase those if they could.
We're going to try to purchase those so then we can use the opportunity to use those DNR grants. So that'd be about another $60,000 we could use between those buildings for the environmental studies and the asbestos and lead paint studies and structural stuff.
Do you think that they're viable to rehab, or at this point you don't really know?
Well, this is the way I look at it. It's those two buildings, the one that was beside the city hall and possibly two other buildings, the one old hotel building there on Main Street, the great big one. If we don't do this, we're going to end up tearing them down.
Yep.
So, pretty soon we got to get something done, or else we're going to have a lot of empty lots. So.
Well, I appreciate how hard you guys are pushing, and we're going to push through this process. Leanne's doing a great job leading us through it, and we really appreciate you being here today.
I'd like to thank you for your time.
Yep.
And any help you can give us would be great. Also, I'd like to thank you for looking at that Bacon's Lake expansion. I'm pretty excited about that. So
it's fun. Again, that one's taking longer than we wanted it to take, too. But
yeah,
you know how that works.
Yeah. We're going to dig a hole next week.
That's good.
All right.
See you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Leanne, would you mind coming up for just a minute and kind of closing us out of this portion? Talk us through real quick what we're going to see next. I assume we've got everybody else coming in to give similar type presentations. And just give us an update on where we are in the process and what we can expect as we go through the weeks.
Just a few dates to keep in mind. Again, the deadline for these urban renewal area or TIF project applications was the first part of August. We did receive 9 applications. Today you had the first 3. Next Tuesday and the following Tuesday will be the final 6. Next Tuesday is Collins, Kelly, and Huxley. And then on the 17th, Cambridge, Colo, and McCallsburg. After that, on September 24th, I'll be back before you with all the applications and ask for discussion and direction by the board as to in what manner you would like the urban renewal plan to be amended, if any manner, and then direct me to set up notices for the consultation meeting with taxing authorities, and that would be held on October 1st, date and time, or time to be decided on September 24th. That notice would go out September 25th.
Okay.
And then during the month of October, following that consultation meeting, if the urban renewal plan is to be amended, we would go through proper procedures.
Okay. So decision points by this board are when?
Definitely some guidance on September 24th.
Okay.
As to, for staff, how to amend the plan.
Okay.
And then also,
but not approved yet. Not just approved. You amend it for us to consider.
And okay. give us direction as to go forth. And then ultimately in October, the third and final consideration would be October 29th.
Okay, so 3 considerations with the final one coming on October 29th, so that for all you guys, October 29th is the date you need to circle on the calendar. That's when this board will take some kind of final action one way or another.
Yeah, the first consideration tentatively would be the 15th, and then the 22nd, and then the 29th.
Okay. And that puts us well within our deadlines we've got to meet for the state of Iowa for anything. Okay. Any questions for Leanne? Thanks.
Good job.
Thank you to all of you for being here.
You bet. Thank you.
We're going to hold on consideration of the August 27th minutes for next week. So we are to consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval. I submit it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda. We added road closures 1408 and 1409.
Move approval with the added changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Acknowledge receipt of FEMA notice dated August 15, 2013 regarding the Worley Creek, College Creek PMR and statutory 90-day appeal period beginning August 28th. You could have just stayed there.
No, I didn't.
Just quickly, you are well aware of the process that's been going on with amending the maps for the Worley Creek, College Creek within both the city of Ames as well as Story County. The intended changes to floodplain maps have been published in the Federal Register as required by the Code of Federal Regulations. FEMA is responsible for doing all this. They've also done two public notices in the Ames Tribune, the last one being last Thursday. That's a very important date because that is the date that the 90-day statutory appeal period begins. It will run through November 26th. Your action today is to formally acknowledge that you did receive that and that we're in that appeal period. At this point, I'll put a notice on our website that the appeal period's begun, and then talk to the county staff to see if they have any additional concerns. We did have an open house a couple weeks ago, August 22nd. About 20 people came. Two unincorporated residents, really no concerns. We have not received any concerns to our notices thus far. But if you'd like, I can send them another notice letting them know the official 90-day appeal period has begun. Target effective date for the new maps will probably be a year from now by the time we go through all the hurdles.
Is another notification necessary?
I don't believe so.
That's where I would be.
I will definitely put on the website that we've received, the board acknowledged today, receipt of it, and official appeal period, and put the link to the website.
A question, I do notice that the federal government, like most entities, are very slow in being updated in terms of the leadership change. Do we need to worry about making any clarification at this point?
I have. When we received the maps last spring, I notified them both of different chair of the board of supervisors and different name of our department. And
they still...
wheels turn very slow.
I like getting mail addressed to you.
Well, okay.
Leanne, thanks.
Thanks for staying on top of it. So basically, what you need to do today is a motion to acknowledge receipt of it, and which will actually start the 90-day appeal process. Okay, I would move the notice of receipt of the FEMA regarding the Worley Creek, College Creek floodplain management program.
Second. We have a motion, a second for acknowledgement. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It is acknowledged. Next item is discussion of report for the security camera research and software for Story County buildings. Cal Pearson and Barb Steinbeck. Hi there.
Hiya.
Good morning.
Good.
It feels like we're actually approaching maybe getting near the end of this.
Depending on what your decision is. If you'll recall, in April, you tasked Cal and I to evaluate the needs for improved security in our major buildings. We did not include the Justice Center in our research. However, we did do a walkthrough with John when he did his camera project, and he got input from Cal and I. So we were slightly involved in that. As we looked through the buildings, our process was we did a walkthrough first, and our main concern was the egress areas, the parking lots, and any infrastructure areas. We didn't feel that we needed to do front counter areas. Similar to what the treasurer's doing, we felt that that would be up to each department to feel if they needed to improve the security. So after doing our walkthrough, we came back to this building and then looked at the blueprints to make sure that what our notes had said we should do made sense on paper. And then Cal took those drawings to the security people who run our door security to get his input. He offered a few suggestions and then gave us a budgetary quote for reporting purposes only. I'm sure this would be an RFP that would have to be sent out, but so that we had a ballpark idea what it may cost us. And if you look at the report, those are on the last page. Total cost to put cameras viewing all of the entrances and exits and public parking lots and, of course, our server rooms would be about $132,000.
Mm-hmm. And how would they be monitored? the way we're plugging this in. Okay, so that gets us the hardware. How are they being monitored? Are they simply being recorded so that if there's a problem, we can go back and find it? Or is somebody, are we projecting that somebody's actually going to sit there and watch these?
No, it would be after the fact type monitoring.
Okay.
Have you contemplated at least where in each of the building there will be at least a monitor by which people could observe any movement of personnel that's not being anticipated in the installation of this? Let's say, for example, we're talking administration building. Any place in this particular building, would there be a particular monitor whereby you could pan sort of like it is in the Justice Center where you could pan any particular area? So that's, we're not going to be quite that elaborate, in other words, where it sounds.
Well, each of the cameras has an IP address, okay. So you could, if you say, hey, I want to look at the front entrance to the admin building,
right.
You could plug in that IP address and view the activity there.
Okay.
And we are going to store video depending on the storage. We don't know how much data storage it will take, but we're hoping to have those available for 30 days before they overwrite. And then, Cal, the system has, a DVR-type setup?
The system has a DVR that records, and also my understanding is that you can pull up these cameras, like Barb said. You don't have to be in the building. You could be out and pull it up on your iPhone if you wanted to look at certain areas. And also, after speaking with our provider, that we use now, that they would be adaptable for panic buttons, and the way those panic buttons would work, depending on how you program them, would key on the camera in that area and could be programmed to alert another display however you wanted it programmed. But at this time, we don't have any monitoring capabilities that somebody's going to sit and watch a monitor at each building.
Now, this is just the installation, projected costs, and so forth. Additional minor costs probably would be some level of signage notification that the facilities is under some type of surveillance. I would assume if you're going to have it, and this is more of a legal question, but I would certainly want to have some form of notification so the general public is aware that the facility is certainly being monitored.
That is not in this price at this time.
You see where I'm kind of going in that standpoint,
uh-huh.
Even though it's right. Technically, I don't know whether we would have to legally, but to me, as just part of general customer service, it makes a big difference in terms of the attitude of individuals if they, feel like that, that they could be on camera. You know, they may not be quite as, verbose, as you may say, under a given situation. So I don't know. That's something we may talk about at a later time with legal counsel, whether it's something that we need to have in consideration. But,
Here to me is the $132,000 question. This is money that's not budgeted for this year, correct?
Yes.
So it seems to me that this is an item that should run through our CIP.
Exactly.
And so, Board, I just asked for direction here. My inclination would be to tell Barb and Cal we really appreciate the report. We're highly interested in it, but we need to run it through that CIP, which will come back to us as part of the budgetary process for FY15. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that we couldn't take some kind of action this spring, depending on how things are going. We're just early enough in the fiscal year right now that I'd hate to point somewhere and say, oh, yeah, we're going to have $132,000 to do something.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think the CIP would be the appropriate place to start. But like we've done on any other situation, once the prioritization comes through, we kind of look at not only the IT budget but the facility budget to see if we might want to move a project start date up a little bit earlier based upon available funding.
Absolutely.
But all of those things will come at a later time. But I think since we now have CIP in place, and the dollar amount here certainly is at a point where it ought to go through that process. Yeah, so I'm with you there.
Yep.
Thank you.
So if that is the direction that you guys were looking for, we'd ask that you send this report through the CIP for action as we go.
The other thing I wanted to note, and it's mentioned in the report, this is strictly equipment and software. I think there's a considerable cost savings if we go ahead with this plan, that facility staff will do the cable running and the mounting of the cameras, and Barb's department will assist in the programming, and we will maintain the system. So,
we need to plug that into you guys' work schedule for whenever we were talking about getting it done, because I know you get your staff stretched pretty thin right now.
And also check with our insurance carriers just to see the potential for rebates and so forth, because I can say that once it's installed, that this could be significant on the long run. Okay.
And Wayne, I agree with you. I don't think that rests with you guys.
No.
That'll rest with us or
I mean
Alyssa.
Yeah.
So you guys don't need to put that on your task list.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. I think I might be next.
Next item is discussion and consideration of Central Iowa Community Services bylaws. Deb Shildroth. Hi, Deb.
Good morning. And a beautiful morning it is.
Oh, yes.
Well, before you is the bylaws document of the Central Iowa Community Services Board of Directors, or our regional board for mental health and disability services. That board met on August 19th and took a look at the bylaws. This is one of those documents that within our 28E agreement has to go back to each member county for review and approval. So that is why you have this before you. Assistant County Attorney Jessica Reynolds graciously looked at the document, had a few minor word changes that I think can be addressed to the full regional board at their next meeting on the 16th of September. But content-wise, it looked good, and there were no concerns from Jessica.
Okay.
And this essentially has a lot of the same information in it that our 28E agreement contains in terms of membership, taking care of vacancies, new member counties, the powers and duties of the board of directors, officers, those kinds of things, advisory board, amendments.
Okay, so that I'm clear, so that we're asking that we, as the Story County Board of Supervisors, ratify this, which then would send the ability to amend it to this 28E board, Wayne, that you're the chair of now, as our representative on Story County, but it would not be in our hands anymore. At that point, it falls to 28E, where we could decide not to be part of the region.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Yep. What you're looking at is the original bylaws documentation, and then any amendments to it will be managed through the 2080 board.
Okay. And Jessica, I'll just ask you, the changes that you would like to see in here, you feel like it would be adequate to just send it back to that board?
I think that's fine. I've definitely let Deb know Story County's position about the changes. Let me just tell you what some of the changes were so you get the understanding. One of the bylaws mandates public notice of the agenda within 48 hours. I recommend that they follow the code and do that 24 hours in advance, because sometimes that can be a bind for public bodies. If they wanted to do that sooner, they could always do that, but not bind themselves in that regard. Talking about counties instead of listing them as member counties can be confusing, so I adjusted that language quite a bit. But there's nothing in there that I think is so important that we would not allow the region to consider our changes.
Mm-hmm. Questions for either Deb or Jessica?
No, just to say that when this came through, I did have a conversation with Jessica, with Deb a little bit, and just trying to look at not only what this document entailed, but some possibilities of what other future governance actions that the board would actually take to assure that we had all of the components of our operation in place. You know, because as a body, we've talked about fiscal agents and responsibilities and policies and procedures. So other types of policies and procedures are not necessarily mentioned here, but that will come through the management plan as Deb and the advisory committee will put together, that will be ratified by the governance board. So I felt very comfortable that they have thought about some of the same points that I was wondering about, but the bylaws basically is the operation of the governance board. It gives us a clear direction in terms of what it is that we should, what should be our level of responsibility. So,
very good. Any other questions? All right, we need approval on this.
And I will second it.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Any further clarifications? Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
We are now entered into the we have adopted the bylaws, I guess.
Right.
Struggling to get there.
So we'll just need your signature on the signature part,
yep.
And then I'll sign
once everybody else signs.
Once everybody else.
Yep.
I would like to point that out. One other county approved them and had their board chair sign it last week. I should get that original document hopefully today, and then I will get that over. We'd like to have the signatures on one document. So when I get that original, I will make sure and.
Would you be willing to also mention the other county that has requested joining us? I think we brought that to the board's attention earlier, but we originally started out with six other counties, and now we're at nine with the addition of Jasper and so forth. So Deb, just maybe update us in terms of where we are. I did sign the letter that you probably got on Friday or Monday. I'm not sure which day you may have picked it up, okay?
Warren County had submitted a letter requesting our regional board to consider them joining our region. And so the regional board took action on August 19th and approved that request. We think it's a very good move, a very smart move. There are lots of similarities in terms of service philosophies and the just the general way that Warren County has been looking at providing mental health and disability services. They do have their own county case management program, as well as being a member of the Central Iowa Recovery Services. And, yes, I received that letter on Friday, Wayne, and that will be going out into the mail today, regular mail, to Chuck Palmer and Rick Schultz, just to notify DHS of the additional county. They know verbally that has occurred, so we just provided them with formal written notification.
So now we just need to pick up Dallas or Marion, and we're contiguous.
Well, we are actually contiguous now, as if you would take a look at with
does
adding
Warren touch Jasper?
Because it touches Jasper.
Madison.
See, and Madison and yep. Warren and those in that particular area.
Madison.
And this was a surprise to me at our meeting last Thursday with Director Palmer and Schultz with the group of us from ISAC that he had already been contacted that this request had come forth, and tentatively they saw no issues why it could not move forward, because this was really left up to the local boards of supervisors of member counties to seek a placement of a region that they wanted to be in. And so then I just spent considerable amount of time talking about our structure and how we were organized, and I think it was very well received.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, who did Warren start out dancing with?
The Dallas, the three over here. It was Dallas, Guthrie, Green, in this particular area. So.
And Audubon.
Audubon.
Okay.
And Audubon. Yeah.
Well, good.
So that pushes our total population to just shy of 300,000,
okay.
Those nine counties.
What kind of contribution does Warren bring with it?
Their CPC has 10 plus years of experience.
And I'm talking dollars.
Oh, dollars.
So Story County is about, what, $4.5 million that we bring to the
Yeah,
to
Warren
the
County is coming to the table. They qualify for equalization funds to the tune of about $1.1 million. They have their state bills paid, and their as of last week, they had not received their equalization fund check yet. Their budget amount, I will get that information for you. I'm not recalling it off the top of my head, but they did come into this fiscal year on some good
Correct.
Financial standing. They did receive some transition funds last year and use that to cover
Well, it sounds to me like it's good for the region, and if it's good for the region, it should be good for Story. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
No agency reports today. Departmental reports. Facilities management, Cal Pearson.
Good morning again.
Good morning again.
Facilities. I just want to give you a few numbers. Our work order numbers have increased 120 from last quarter, where we had 385 requests and 12 on-call requests. That was down one.
So 385 is up from 260?
Yes.
In the previous quarter? What do you attribute that to?
Well, the first time I didn't bring the itemized.
And just real generally, Cal.
Majority of them are CLP, group home, and Justice Center. Those are our two normal highest needs. Things going on in the jail, the group homes, and just requests day to day, light changing, water leak here or there, general things such as that.
Okay, kind of. So you wouldn't necessarily at this point say this is the beginning of a trend that we're starting to see something in facilities, more of a this is just nature of business.
Let me keep in mind a few earlier last or in the spring, I think, we started talking about the aging of some of our buildings.
Sure.
And so we're going to start to see some natural maintenance needs as over time that starts to come into play. But I think he's being very proactive and is trying to stay atop of that. But, yes, I would anticipate that this is just the beginning of that time frame that we're going to see a lot of those general maintenance type
And I think you're right on, Wayne. Well, just what concerns me is when you see a 30% jump, that to me is different than just ongoing. Now it could be a blip. Either the 260 last quarter could have been low, but I think this is something, Cal, we need to keep an eye on.
Exactly. That's why I like to give these numbers to you. This is my second quarterly report, so we will definitely be tracking those numbers as we move on. We started out the quarter, it was raining a lot, so we had a lot of outside landscaping, mowing, that type of thing going on outside, general building grounds maintenance, our normal fire and safety inspections that we do on all the buildings. And as the summer progressed, it stopped raining, which changed our schedule quite a bit, which was good because we had a lot of inside projects backed up that I didn't think we were going to get to until fall, maybe winter. So
our farmers would rather see you out mowing grass.
I understand. I would rather mow grass too. This is it's a concern with the dryness. But we installed a half security door and wall in the treasurer's office for added security in her area. We assisted in the cabling of new wireless internet system in the Justice Center Administration and Human Service Center, and that system is up and running. Completed cabling for additional security cameras at the Justice Center. And we are presently in the process of installing the camera mounting hardware and the cameras at this time for that project out there at the Justice Center. We assisted emergency management with the installation of a cell phone signal booster system in the administration building. I ordered a replacement truck for the facility's fleet due to the loss of one in an accident at the end of May. Completed the removal and replacement of a Duluth group home handicapped shower stall area that had deteriorated, and we had to open it up and clean it up and put it back together, and that's back in operation. Recarpeted the county attorney's office in Ames. That was a good project, and I think everybody's happy over there. That was needed to be done. Began the process of assigning county ID badges to county employees, and that's an ongoing task we're doing right now, and it's going real well. So I'm real happy with the way that's going. We repaired a water leak in the fire sprinkler system at the administration building. Fortunately, happened during business hours and was reported immediately. Minimal damage was localized to a few ceiling tiles, but that's just an example of things, you know, that system's been in since the remodel, and the moon and stars evidently were aligned just right, and here we go, we have a leak. So that was taken care of.
And if that leak hits us at 5:30 Friday, and nobody notices until Tuesday morning, we got substantially more damage.
There was not enough flow to set off the fire alarm. You know, it was just conditions were perfect, but we had people that noticed things that are happening around the building, and we got it taken care of. The other repair we had was a water leak in the backflow preventer at the administration building. This is a system on the domestic water line that it protects contamination of backflow water getting into the system. We had a part that was bad on that. That's been taken care of. And the last thing I'd like to mention is in my earlier report, I reported on some economizer units on the top of the Justice Center that were in really bad shape. I had about a dozen of them that were, some were not running, some were barely running. And I'm happy to report that the staff has really stepped up and we've gone through those units and repaired what needed to be repaired, and all units are now in full operation. And like I say, I'd like to give a big hats off to the facilities staff for really digging into that and getting things going. So that was a good project.
Outstanding.
Other than that, I don't have anything unless you have some questions.
I just want to commend you and your staff for the job you guys did with the memorial bench that was donated to the animal shelter.
Thank you.
Bumps in the road along the way, and but anybody has the opportunity to stop out there and take a look at it. It really, you guys did a great job. It looks great. So
I agree. They did a real nice job. Thank you. Appreciate it. A
couple things that I would update you guys on and ask Cal to weigh in. Cal and I continue to have conversations about some possible work at the Justice Center involving specifically county attorney's offices. You can expect that conversation to come forward in a more formal way down the road. We've also begun some real preliminary conversations about some roofing issues at CLP and some storage space issues both in this building and then a possibility of some additional storage out, not attached to the Justice Center, but kind of out on that Justice Center property, really at the real preliminary stages. Is there anything you want to add on those or anything else that we've been looking at?
At 1 o'clock today, I will be meeting with an architect firm to try and get an idea on what kind of costs would be to get them on board to give us an idea what these projects would cost us down the road. So there'll be more to come on that, absolutely, and hopefully I'll know a little more after today.
Yeah, and today's not intended for you guys to have any more other than that conversation's going on. And some of it may come forward to us as a body down the road.
That your announcement kind of spurred a thought, and this is something that we may hear more about at some point, either through the county attorney's office or the courts. But while I was at McDonald's last week, a very striking young lady came in, and I noticed that she was not someone in Story County that I had met before, and so I just went up and introduced myself and welcomed her to Story County, and I said, you look I've never seen you before. She said, no. She said, I'm from Texas. And I said, well, what brings you to Story County? She says, well, I'm here part of the EDMS system looking at Story County and trying to look at reviewing where we are, and we're under a statewide contract to look at the EDMS system. And she said that her role in particular, because they're all electronic in their filing in her system, but she comes in with not a biased position one way or the other, and will be evaluating our system. And so I gave her my card and asked her if it was within her purview to just update me in terms of where she thought we were, and if there were some, you know, other needs, challenges that we might have. So I don't know if she will follow up and actually notify me, because I don't think she was required to basically do so.
Right.
But I did think that that was extremely interesting. And I did, at our state implementation meeting a year ago, we're finding out now that the state of Iowa is moving much quicker to having a statewide system now in operation. Most of the Southwest is up and running, and they're hoping to cover the Southeast here within the next several months. So while there have been bumps in the road, this definitely seems to be the way that the courts are going. And so in terms of data storage, it will be interesting to determine to what degree they will still rely on a lot of additional paperwork, because a lot of this will be electronic filing.
Sure.
So I'm sure the
I would imagine our county attorney's office would like to talk to her. I just want to clarify one thing. So when you're in McDonald's, you look around the room and decide if the people in there are part of the 92,000.
If I see people that I have not, that I have never met, never been met before, I'm going to introduce myself and say, "Welcome to Story County."
I want to say this, Cal. Anytime any organization loses a long-term outstanding employee like Al Hahn was, there has to be a little trepidation of what's going to happen to that department and how it impacts the organization. And you mentioned this is your second quarterly report to us. I just want to commend you. You're doing a great job. I like it anytime it looks like the board makes a good decision, and it looks to me like the board made a great decision in hiring you to be the facilities director. But really, really appreciate the time and energy you're putting in and the way things are going.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep. Well stated. Good.
Next is information technology report. Is this a coincidence?
Yeah.
Barb Steinbeck.
It seems like Cal and I do everything together.
Hi again, Barb.
Good morning. As I was preparing my update list for this meeting, recalling the last time we were here was June, it's like, wow, how did we get all this done? We're just trucking right along. I wanted to start out and just update you on the Tyler version 10 upgrade for real estate. If you'll recall, that was very painful, and we started that in February. It is now complete. We had a lot of sticking issues with the bill to owner, mail to addresses on each parcel, and then some drainage charge issues, because that was something we hadn't done. But most of what we're doing now is just maintenance and odds and ends as it comes along. So I'm glad to put that project to rest. We migrated into the Tyler content management after we finished the version 10 upgrade, and that has been very painful as well. Tyler promised to do some things without actually knowing what we had in our AS400 system with all the old real estate records. The main issue was they didn't understand the AS400 IBM file structure. In desperation, I reached out to Solutions and asked if they could help. They gave us a quote of $16,000 to convert all the things into a format that Tyler could use. And then I approached Tyler and suggested maybe we have Solutions convert that. And at first they said, no, this is our project. We need to learn how to do it. Several months went by, and they still hadn't figured out how to do it. So finally, a couple weeks ago, they agreed to have Solutions convert everything for them. We would pay Solutions because they are in competition, and then they would take that off of what they had proposed to charge us. So in my mind, it's a win-win situation. Solutions has a few things to get out of the way first, and then they will start converting those files for us. So it looks like that project will be
taken care of. All this does, though, is convert our real estate. It's not the countywide scanning solution. My thoughts would be I don't want to use Tyler for everybody for the sheriff's stuff. I think Koufax would be a good solution. So we'll probably have two solutions, one for real estate and one for the rest of us.
Okay. And this, again, is this part of the long-standing discussion that we had over 2 or 3 years ago when we were trying to look at whether we would have one system whereby the treasurer, the auditor, recorder, and all would, and the assessors would be on one system. But as you are looking at what the vendors are able to do, you have some reservation about not having all of our eggs in one basket.
Exactly. I try not to operate that way. I know in some projects it does make sense, but if one fails, then everybody's down. And Don Ellis from the Sheriff's Department approached me and asked, you know, when are we going to get going, because their paperwork is piling up. And we wanted to wait till Micah got back so that he could spearhead the project, and he's just been so busy since then. So we've kind of put that on the back burner, but we haven't been lacking for work in the meantime. So I see this as probably our big project for next year.
Okay, great.
Another large project we're working on is the IP phones, something very anticipated. The RFP was sent out. We agreed on a vendor. And basically what we've been working on recently, and I didn't realize this would take as long as it is refining our phone list, making sure all of the numbers are active that we're actually paying for, because we have to have a good list for LightEdge to submit to the telephone companies to port the numbers over. And this is a one-time thing, so we have to make sure our list is good. And I've been going over with the different departments, do you use this number, do you not use this number? One thing important to understand, none of the analog lines that we use for door security, faxing, things like that, they don't come into the IP phone system. This is good in that it gives us redundancy in case there is a catastrophe and our system goes down. At least we'll have lines we can call out on. But analog can't be translated into IP. So these are what they call POTS lines, plain old telephone lines. So we'll still have those. In the future, I would like to look at faxing solutions so we can get rid of some of these analog lines. Traditionally, they cost about $20 a month apiece. So I think it would behoove Story County to try to reduce that number. That's not a project I want to knock out right now, but after we get the IP phone system in and implemented, I think it would be a good project for next year.
Barb, I got a question, and I'm sorry. This is going to get us off the rails, and I'm sorry. But you just mentioned the fax, the number of fax lines that we have coming into the county, and that makes me think about the number of copiers that we have in the county.
Exactly.
And that makes me think about
yes.
how easy it is.
It's
unbelievable to me. It seems to me that there's got to be a solution where Story County could have, with technology the way it is today, where we could have one analog fax line that we're paying for, where the document, you know, is faxed in and then distributed based on some kind of distribution list there, rather than paying for however many fax lines that we have, again, which leads me to the copiers and the printers and that whole conversation that we're going to have at some point. So I'm not looking for an answer, but I'm just asking you, as you work through some of these things, just know that that's an item that we've got to look at. There's money going out the window that doesn't need to be going out the window. And I think it's something that we need to go after.
I totally agree. When I hired Brian to replace Dave Chumblin, I told him one of his projects that I would be working on him with is to evaluate our printing system. And we have got all the building diagrams. We've got the printer locations. We're going to take a look at that when things slow down a little and decide where we can do some cost savings. There are, and then along with that, you know, all of the all-in-ones that we have can also do faxing. So there are faxing programs where you could have one or two main lines, and depending on how you build the routing within those systems, they can be faxed to people's emails. So they could pull it up on their computer, print it or not print it, store it, whatever, and save us a lot on those analog lines. People don't seem to want to get rid of those right now. I'm saying, well, now's a good time. Let's evaluate what we have here, and if we want to get rid of those fax lines, we can. And everybody so far has said, no, we want to keep them. So.
Well, and I would say that's fine. Yeah. That's where we are right now. Let's get through this
exactly.
Phone switch over, and then the board needs to have this conversation when it comes to budget time, because if it's an either-or solution in terms of those dollars getting spent, my gut feel is some of these departments may decide that maybe that analog line is not the greatest place to be spending dollars.
I agree.
Good.
We did do a wireless network implementation. Every building has wireless in it. We do have a guest network and a private network. So far, there's been a lot of usage, not a lot of complaints on slowness. We did warn people that the guests would be a little slower. I've hopped onto it a few times myself, and I didn't notice that it's very slow. Have you used it, Wayne?
At first, I was having a little more difficulty on the guest login, but after, you know, you guys showed me how to log in on the county one, I've not had any issue at all. It's come up real quick, and I've appreciated that. Of course, I'm not the most tax savvy. I'm still trying to learn.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
it'll
but
take
yeah,
a while.
I think the system is doing great right now, and I'm real pleased.
Good. And I just want to remind everyone that the guest network does have a user policy that Jessica has graciously helped us with, the wording on it. And then the private wireless network follows the same security that you had signed when you signed up for the network when you were first employed by Story County. So, so far, so good.
Do you envision, I think when this came in play, we talked about the proximity that you needed to be able to log in. Do you anticipate evaluating that down the road? I guess right now what I'm thinking about, if I pull up into the parking lot, depending upon how close I am to the building, I may or may not be able to access, you know, this while sitting in the parking lot. I don't think that was our intent at that point.
No.
But, again, is there a schematic perimeter, like, say, the city of Nevada or wherever it has, where general ability to log into the guest network to get information is generally acceptable? Are you aware of?
We try to keep it within the boundaries of the building itself and not extend into the parking lot. If you think that needs to be changed, we'd
well,
be more than
no,
happy to
I'm
listen
just
to
curious
you.
In terms of the difference between a individual set up like, you know, the government entity and the building structure itself versus, say, a city. For example, if you're downtown Main Street Ames, for example, and each individual location may have a login.
Sure.
But is that different than, you know, what we have currently right now?
You know, a wireless network is the same wherever you go. It's just how you configure it and the parameters that you set on it. You can set security low, medium, high. You can set parameters. You can set how far out your access points will extend. Because how that works is you have a server that dishes out the wireless network, and then it talks to little access points throughout the building to extend the coverage. And you can tone those down or increase them if you want to. There is no standard statewide or government-wide that we know of.
Well, the other question, Mr. Chair, would be is by the end of the fiscal year, do you think we could do some type of a survey to our people that come in and utilize this facility or any of our buildings where, you know, this is taking place, just kind of see what the usage is and what their experience has been so that we have some
I think we can do anything that we decide we want to do. Now, as far as usage, that's as simple as Barb pulling it up. She can show us how much it's being used and when it's being used.
But I'm talking about customer satisfaction type survey type thing, you know, if it, speed, you know, all this type of operations. Not asking that we do this right away because I think it's still relatively new, but I think that over a period of time, you know, that may or may not be worthwhile. You know, I don't know.
I think a good way to approach that would be to have it as part of the login process for the network itself. I mean, how do you get that out to people if they've never used the wireless network?
Right.
So people who are using it, maybe after they sign the policy agreement, say, would you like to take a quick survey?
Okay.
And then, you know, because that way you're targeting the people who are actually using it.
Right. Correct.
But good suggestion.
Good point.
Yeah, and I would suggest, too, that I think Wayne makes two great points, but let's hold off on that while we get a feel for how it's being used and when it's being used. And the second one is, I would say at this point, Barb, let's stick to the confines of the building
in terms of where it's
available, unless you guys feel differently than that.
No, I'm all for that. I just wanted to get a better understanding of the decision-making that went into it. Good.
Another project we worked on were the online payments. This was something that Planning and Development and Health had originally said that they wanted to be able to do forms and things from the Internet, similar to what we do when we pay taxes through the Treasurer's site. We looked at a lot of options and finally decided to go with GovTech, and they're the ones that handle it for the Treasurer. We've got everything set up in place. They did a test transaction on Friday for $1, and we're waiting to hear back from the Treasurer to see if that actually went through. If it did, it will be operational. GovTech, the cost that they charged us for this was very good. It was a lot lower than I expected, but their hosting fees were, I thought, a little high. So we did go to another hosting site, and we managed to get a three-year package for $400 versus the $100 a month that GovTech wanted to charge us. So I think we did a little cost savings there, but I haven't heard back to see if that transaction went through. So if it did, that's another one we can chalk off the list. You've already heard about security cameras. We spent a lot of time going through and looking at that. Uh-oh, do we have a question? I also wanted to point out that we did an antivirus upgrade here at the county. We moved from Trend Micro to Kaspersky, and for a while it was a little troublesome for people because they got a lot of things that Kaspersky was catching that Trend had not. So I think that's reached a point where we're filtering out most of the garbage. But I feel a lot better with Kaspersky than with Trend Micro. And you know, one thing I should point out, that whole thing that happened in the Treasurer's office wouldn't have happened if we didn't have Trend Micro. It let things slip through that it shouldn't have. So, knock on wood, I hope Kaspersky does a better job. I've used it in the past, and I've been real happy with it. And we evaluated three separate programs, and this one came out the highest, taking into consideration the virtual workstations that we're using at CLP. We wanted to, some of the newer products don't actually work in virtual environments, so Kaspersky does that as well as the normal computers.
Well, and now this is going to be an exercise of just trying to stay as close to the edge as we possibly can and staying ahead of it, right? Because the ones that want to cause us trouble are always going to be one step ahead of whatever system we put in. We just need to limit it as much as possible.
Another project we're working on is the server room relocation in Ames, and I'm surprised Cal didn't talk about that a little bit. We're working with facilities. There is a room in the HSC building that was originally designed to be a server room. It's just got a bare rack there right now. We'd like to move all of our equipment from the CLP server room to HSC. It is better tornado and flood protection, and also the security is better. I think the location's better. There's a lot of traffic that goes in and out of the CLP server room just because it's used for storage. And this will help make it a dedicated server room. Mm-hmm. So he's looking into fire suppression, and Kenny is getting costs together for cabling and some things. If it's too cost prohibitive, it may be on our 2015 budget request.
Okay. Correct.
Any questions?
Anything for Barb? Barb, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much.
Work. Yeah. Good.
All right. Other reports. I'm going to use prerogative of the chair. I see Drew Camp in the audience today. He's with the AEDC. He is the individual who's part of the contract we have with the AEDC to assist small towns. Drew, I didn't know if you had any update you wanted to give the board or just mention to us how your last few weeks have gone. I think it's been a few weeks since we've seen you. And I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I mean, most of it... like they said, I'm Drew Camp. I'm the director of Story County Community Outreach, and I'm housed at the Chamber of Commerce in Ames. And the things I've been doing is I've just been trying to get back out to the communities because it was a little difficult at first. They didn't know what to think of me. So I think finally, getting into my sixth week now, I've found that they are trusting me some more than others, and that's good because I'm going to be able to assist them far better than I originally was. And then I'm also reaching out to other entities. I'm meeting with someone at the university this afternoon just to speak with them about the Iowa Retail Initiative, kind of learn a little bit more about that and how they could possibly assist these communities I'm working with. Then I'm also going to meet with someone from the Hunsicker Career Center in Ames there to discuss what they do. And then I'm hoping to probably try to get in and maybe speak with some people at like Papa John Entrepreneurial and things like that. Just kind of really just get a broad range, a broad idea of what I can be offering to the communities. Because that's been a lot of what it is so far, is just information sharing. And part of it too was Mayor Fritz didn't mention it, but they had no clue about the TIF applications. And I started a couple days before they were due, but he was able to, since it was a pretty brief and short application to fill out, he was able to get it done, and hopefully they can receive some assistance. So I know that'll really help a lot too as that progresses, and hopefully they get some funds to do their projects. But other than that, it's just been a lot of meeting with people and just some data entry things that we're trying to do so we can put together some marketing on our website, and then also with the Location One Information Services. We've been trying to do some things there, get buildings and sites in, because I don't know if a lot of these communities know about the capabilities offered with LOIS. So we're trying to get the sites that they have in there so they can be looked at by entities looking to possibly relocate to Story County. So.
Yeah. Andy, Drew, appreciate the early work you're putting in.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne, anything?
No. I kind of
all anything? No. Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on this agenda. Board may not take any action.
Gooder.
Comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but they may do so in the future.
Olson.
We've got Loris Olson with us today. Can you reach that? All right.
Thank you. And had not intended to comment until Rick, you called Drew up. I feel a more appropriate presentation to comply with the open meetings law, since the chamber is being paid $85,000 for Drew, would be to put his reports on the agenda as an agenda item for just like you would do any other department report. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Loris. I mean, the only problem I see there is we're going to have that on the agenda. We're going to have formal reports from him. He happened to be in the audience today, and I feel like any time this board can get an update, it's a good thing. No action was taken. No action was contemplated. No action was requested, and I don't think that's even within the confines of the gray area that approaches open meetings law.
Well, and so, I think also that he will at some point later on come and give a formal presentation.
Oh, yeah, it's part of the contract that he's going to give a presentation, I think, once quarterly. He just happened to be here today to listen to the three reports from the others. We hadn't heard from him. He's new at 6 weeks. I think that one's completely appropriate. Appreciate your thoughts.
Well, and just to let you know, since you did kind of provide that feedback here, I would like to set up an appointment. I don't know if whether you feel it's that we should put this on an agenda with all three supervisors present, or whether I should meet first with you and possibly Steve Holmes. But obviously, I've come up a couple other times recently and expressed some concerns about what ministerial is, the definition of ministerial versus what needs to go in front of the public. And now this, there was a future incident or a past incident where there was Milford, you know, to talk about the signage for Milford. So I have contacted the Public Information Board, and so I would like to try and talk to you guys before I look at what's filing. There's a 60-day deadline. I do have one incident that I've discussed with them that looks, I think I will be putting the formal challenge. But rather than making this an adversarial position, I'd like to try and have some discussion about, really, there are honest interpretations of the law. So,
and Loris, any time you want to talk about that, but what I would encourage you is Jessica Reynolds is sitting right behind you. She's our civil attorney. I would encourage you to start with her. She's who we look to all the time when there's any when we feel like there's any question at all about where things are going. She's who we look to. I'd encourage you to visit with her, and I'll be glad to meet with you anytime.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Announcements to the supervisor, Wayne.
Nope. Let me see. IMWCA, I believe, is this Thursday. That is the Iowa Municipal Workers' Comp Board of Trustees. They have now relocated their new facility. which is right across the street from on 7th Avenue where the old ISAC office used to be. So this will be our first time meeting in that facility. And I think that's and I'll just be on a conference call tomorrow with HRDA discussing some of the contracts that need to be put in place involving Jasper County, Marion County, and a few of the other provider agencies.
Outstanding. Paul, anything?
Well, having a child at both the University of Iowa and Iowa State, it was
the
a
bad
weekend. Go Panthers.
Right, you know where Ben's going now. Right?
That's right.
Nothing for me. If there's nothing else, I would take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Good.
Hey, what's the matter, Jessica? No closed meeting today? No closed session today?